Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Today's Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Loot Crate, and Talking Simpsons listeners can get 10% off a Loot Crate subscription by going to trylootcrate.com/lasertime and using promo code BRIDGE10. That's the number 10.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. Welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we like making bacon on the beach. I am your host, Bob Mackey, a good-looking rebel who plays by his own rules, and this is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons.
Oh, not again.
We made another episode. We're very sorry. Who else is here with me today?
I'm Henry. I'd sooner eat a bilge rat, Gilbert.
I'm Don Quixote, Chris Antista.
And today's episode is New Kid on the Block, which aired on November 12th, 1992. What happened on this mythical day in Simpsons history, Chris?
Bobby, you wouldn't believe it if it wasn't reported.
Riddick Bowe defeats Evander Holyfield. Jerry and George pitch a show about nothing on the show Seinfeld. And you can now watch video on your computer. Apple has just unveiled QuickTime. Boo. And Microsoft debuts its eternally popular Microsoft Video for Windows. Rolls off the tongue, though.
I don't know which I'd rather have. I was a real player kid. That was me.
I still think I'm asked to update QuickTime on my computer. I just
every
click,
7 seconds.
No. Yeah.
I watched so many anime openings. You couldn't download all of the anime, but you could download anime openings and watch them through your QuickTime.
It would take roughly 6 hours to download them.
Yeah, but man, it was a beautiful 6 hours. Meanwhile, yeah, that Riddick Bowe thing, he didn't have a great career after that, but he got lucky on Evander. And what was the
other? Make a documentary about him called Throwing Bows.
Chasing Tyson
so
is
good.
An amazing documentary.
I need to see that.
It'll
yeah.
give you a brand new appreciation for Evander Holyfield.
And just how long America has lusted after irredeemable assholes.
Yes.
Evander yeah. Holyfield was indisputably better than Mike Tyson, and everyone hated him.
Yeah. For not being enigmatic, I guess, or not
being
a
character. Mama's boy, for being,
for being nice.
Boring, yeah.
Boring, nice person.
So he deserved to have his ear bitten off. That's what we're saying.
It makes it all the more tragic, and then Tyson is in that documentary like, yeah, I just wanted to hurt him to get him away. It's so sad. Everything about it is
yeah.
sad. Like,
I wanted
Tyson
to mutilate
is sad.
This man. Yeah.
Well, he didn't say mutilate. Like, I was just embarrassed, and I couldn't.
He wasn't doing good. He was losing.
I didn't
so
know
he
what
threw
else to
the
do.
Fight.
And like, I ruined the fight, and he made the whole thing about himself, and he regrets it, but, like, whatever.
Yeah. Tyson, fascinating figure. So many ROM hacks after that fight. But today's episode is a landmark episode because it is the first credited Conan O'Brien episode. I want to say first off, that means nothing. If you're credited with an episode, it might not even be your idea. I don't think this was. This is probably, I think this was James L. Brooks' idea. Like a mother moves into the town with her daughter. And
well, meanwhile, Conan came to the pitch, the famous first pitch meeting he went to. He pitched Marge Gets a Job, which was given to Oakley and Weinstein.
So I don't know exactly how a writer room works, let alone an animation. But when you're the credited writer of the episode, all the writers vomit everything on the table, and then they get to leave, and it's like, now you clean this up and organize this into a script, because you're the credited writer on this episode.
I'm pretty sure for The Simpsons, all of the episode ideas come from writers' retreats that they have every year.
Yeah.
Like, what is this season going to be? And then they assign episodes to writers. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could be your idea that you get to write.
Well, they do it in a hotel room, I think they would say. They'd hit a gong if you sold the pitch. And yeah, I like imagining what those were like. But Conan,
I want to be a fly on the wall. 1992 Simpsons writers retreat. God,
Conan's biography to that point was that he had been the editor in chief of the Harvard Lampoon.
Yes, he was a background character in some SNL skits. Sometimes
he's holding a turtle.
And
that's Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, right.
And he was a head writer in that season, mm-hmm. I believe.
I don't think a head writer. No,
was he not? Mm-hmm. Okay, but he was also. I think he was also on like that nudist talk show sketch. I remember him.
Yes,
that.
The penis song. And if you look at the first ever sketch of the Five Timers Club, which they've done several times, Conan is the concierge, the butler in that sketch.
I think I have seen
because
that
of how upper crust and white he looks.
and he worked with his name escapes me now, the co-creator of King of the Hill and Greg Daniels.
Yeah.
Greg Daniels, I believe the mug you see on Conan's desk to this day was given to him by a King of the Hill creator.
Greg Daniels. Wow. Okay.
And Greg Daniels would follow Conan onto The Simpsons in season mm-hmm. 5 right when Conan left.
That's right. Just 1 year.
So he had, he had left SNL, left New York, moves to LA, gets hired on The Simpsons. He is like the next generation hires. Like they joke about how at the end of season 4, they said, the only people who are going to be here are going to be Oakley and Weinstein and Conan while the rest of us are leaving mm-hmm. for big fancy deals.
I watched that show, actually.
And then Conan just leaves 5 episodes into season 5.
Yeah. For what?
For what? Something.
For his own talk show. Yeah.
That'll never
happen.
Last.
How does
never
that
last.
Even happen? By the way, our new writer hire has a NBC late night talk show. He has to leave.
Sorry. Yeah, and he actually owed them scripts. It's really interesting, too. This commentary is slightly frustrating because you hear nothing about the episode, but Conan is on it.
Oh, is it a Conan?
He's on the commentary.
He calls in. He's not watching.
He does, but I've listened to the other ones and, like, there is no talk of the episode.
I think he is watching it because he references things that are being shown on the screen, too.
But they're all Conan questions and memories. That's all you get from those
commentaries. But it's great because... sorry, go ahead.
No, those commentaries are love letters to Conan from the other writers. Like, we loved working with you, Conan. Thank you. Like... Remember you did this that time, Conan? That was so funny. Remember you did this?
It's funny. It's so funny, though, how Conan has risen in stature to be this great TV host. But when he was hired there, he was just the new guy, and he got all the shit jobs. They mentioned he wrote the Prince script that never got picked up.
Yeah.
He had to rewrite another writer's script, which they immediately hush up on the commentary. Like, don't talk about that. Mm. The Guild could sue us. Like, apparently Conan wrote one of the episodes that he's not credited for.
Mm. I think... he wrote Springfield.
You think so?
Last Exit to Springfield.
Oh,
I
Last
think he
Exit.
Wrote that
okay.
One.
Oh, that
I
does seem very Conan-y.
Well, because on that commentary, Kogan and Wolodarski joke all the time about how, like, they had left by the time the rewrite had began on it.
You're right,
and they say, like, I don't even remember these jokes, so this one is remembered as the best episode, but we left. I feel pretty... my conspiracy theory is he rewrote the majority of Last Exit to Springfield.
That might check out.
And he also pitched the famous monorail episode, which I cannot wait to get to.
That is very Conan-y. But this episode, I did want to mention two cut B stories, which were proposed but never actually developed. One was really interesting. One was going to have Don Rickles. The plot was going to be Homer sees Don Rickles. You know, Don Rickles riffs on the crowd. Mm-hmm. Homer laughs until he gets riffed on, and then he punches Don Rickles out, and he goes to court for that. They gave the script to Don Rickles. It had original Don Rickles jokes.
Shit.
Exactly. No. They wrote original Don Rickles jokes. But he's like, what are you doing stealing my material?
Get
out of
here.
Well, some of the things, they just reused his jokes, and he thought they stole from him. And then Al Jean's response was like, yeah, we stole his jokes so he'd do them. Like, we wanted him to do his jokes. And Conan even talks about how, like, he met Don Rickles at some function.
Oh, that was Groening.
Groening, yeah. He's just like, and Rickles was still thinking about how, like, the Simpsons ripped him off.
He grabbed him by the lapels, is what Groening said, and shook him like, the Simpsons.
And it's really too bad, because Don Rickles would have been a good get for
the
show.
Yeah, I think so. He's still alive. Good we could kill him with this podcast.
But if we never saw Don... but if they got Don Rickles, we would never have Captain McAllister.
That's true.
So, then what was the other cut?
Is this the debut of Captain McAllister?
It is, yeah. They need him in this episode. But the other B story that they cut, or it didn't work out, was the B story was going to be Homer goes to Barber Night College. Apparently, he has a knack for cutting hair, and that was going to be a B story. Like, I want to read these scripts, because they could have great jokes that we would we would be repeating to this day.
I've learned easy sitcom writing is to give your give a character a surprise talent that
yes.
they didn't know they had,
and
then
immediately
they never
forget, yeah.
they never use it again. Like that was something I noticed when I rewatched News Radio that mm-hmm. they would just to me like, oh, in this episode, Andy's character Matthew is really good at ventriloquism, or no, this time Dave Foley can dance.
Phil Hartman has a cane,
or he's knife throw Dini. News Radio is
it's
such
great.
A
go back and watch it. But The Simpsons, this episode opens with one of the more parodies lost to time. Did you guys pick up on this?
No, what was
this? Is a parody of the TV show Studs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So specifically,
which,
Studs.
You won't believe this shit. 2.5 seasons, almost 600 episodes.
Fuck me.
If wow. you want to, yeah, like those will never be seen again. Those are just rotting away.
Wow.
It was essentially exactly what you see on the screen.
Yeah.
Just like, let's describe our fucking mm-hmm. in front of an audience.
If they were raunchy, yeah, I was like, let's be raunchier than the
PG
Chuck Woolery show. Like, so.
He
yeah.
looks so sexy. I hope we would have sex.
That's a great parody of it. 600 episodes.
Yes.
Man.
That's like, insane.
Every day for 2.5 years, probably.
Yeah.
We got new Studs. I watched a lot of it. It was very formative
yeah.
for teaching me the wrong things.
Yeah. Well, I think this episode kind of... It's interesting this episode starts with a dating show because love is kind of the plot of it. So...
They both feel
like
B plus.
This was when I heard Homer talking about making bacon on the beach. This is the first time I heard it. Was like, was that guy talking about a specific sex act? Like mm-hmm. that making bacon on the beach is a specific type of sex, or is that it is just?
I think
how
just,
good it was.
I think it just means making bacon is a euphemism for sex, and they just had
no,
sex on the beach.
Oh, it means masturbating so. Furiously without lotion so as to create heat
ugh.
And baconify your own foreskin.
I think I need to go to Urban Dictionary for that one, Chris.
Fine,
but no thanks.
There is another. Wonderfully dated reference in this portion of the show. I love the neighbor comes over to the house and say that she's moving to Florida.
Miss Winfield.
Oh, Mr. Simpson, please, can you blank?
Yeah.
Mr. Simpson,
oh my, God.
My husband and I have decided to move.
Going to run out to Clark in Florida, eh?
Yes. Well, there's a few things you could do to help us sell our home. First, whenever you walk in front of your window, could you please wear pants?
No.
Second, could you please take in your jack-o'-lanterns from past Halloweens?
No.
And please cover your garbage. It's attracting wildlife.
Hey, Moose! You! Yeah, talking to you! Get off my lawn! Now!
That is... I've never seen a second of more than exposure, but...
Oh, it's great.
That is, yeah.
I remember it being great.
Yeah, it was one of those weird CBS sitcoms.
This is the real Northern Exposure theme song I just transitioned into, because it sounds like it's from a machine, but this could be a real...
It's from the Seinfeld keyboard.
This felt like such a current joke then. Like, I only knew it as ads. I hadn't watched it.
Yeah.
And
I've still never seen it.
It's good?
I
thought it was good,
yeah. It's fine, yeah. But
I think it's like Twin Peaks inspired, but without the horror. It's just like a regular doctor moves to a town in Alaska full of weirdos, and
yeah.
they all have their own idiosyncrasies, and they're all very lovable, I think.
The other thing I knew about it, and I had to double check this, that it was the lead on the show went through terrible contract disputes in the fourth and fifth seasons to the point that they kept writing him out of the show until eventually in the fifth season and ran for six seasons. In the fifth season, he goes native and runs into the woods and never comes
and
back.
And there's a new doctor, I guess.
And there's just a new guy who's a similarly white, nice dude.
I think other guy went to ER or something. I forget. He went somewhere.
Yeah, and the show ran from 90 to 95, so that's how old, like, it's so out of date. That's how long The Simpsons has lasted.
I watched most of this on Lifetime on reruns, so that's where I'm coming from. So, yes, we have the Studs parody. Mrs. Winfield, I wanted to bring up, a very little-used character. You kind of confuse her with Mrs. Glick. Last time we saw her, she was complaining to Homer over the phone about Santa's little helper.
No family on Earth would have this dog.
And then she was voiced by Tracy Ullman. And the first time we saw her was in Homer's Odyssey with the other guy talking about taking the boulder out for a walk.
Yeah.
One of the worst jokes on The Simpsons.
Pretty bad joke.
Taking his boulder for a walk.
Clearly they got tired of the Winfield, so they got rid of him. But I did like at least this farewell joke to them that you got to see what a non-Flanders neighbor thinks of Homer as a neighbor.
I love Homer's comment, gonna run out the clock in Florida, huh?
So great. Yeah, right at the clock. And she just has to agree, like, yes.
I love how much Seinfeld made of that, by the way. That was a great little little deviation from New York.
Homer goes back inside. I just got to get that out as the real estate guy is trying to sell the house. I love It's like just the most clearly gay character ever.
Now, I don't know much about haggling or bargaining, so why don't we just agree to pay whatever the Winfields want?
That could work.
What was that?
Sigh.
Sigh.
There you are. Thought you could get away, huh?
Yeah, so this is disgusting.
That's the sound of a water-soaked hot dog
that he's pulling from his crotch
his
area.
Naked crotch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you...
But that was a sigh with a capital T-H.
Thigh.
Thigh.
I have a question for you. Do you see Homer as... Is he naked in that kiddie pool, or is his under... Or is his clothes... bathing suit beneath the water?
I believe he's naked, because we hear about him not wearing pants. It all adds up in my head.
Yeah, but he is wearing, like, that hat, like a fishing hat.
Yeah. It's not his fat guy hat, which you'll get later.
I also think they edited it out of order, because that scene happens, which the end joke is they'll never sell this house. The very next shot is Bart and Lisa sneaking into the house with the sold sign up.
Oh.
So it just doesn't like track.
Yeah,
it doesn't
there's
track
a lot of
plot-wise.
Like shuffling of scenes around in season four episodes. Yeah, yeah.
Both these plots seem like the B plot. They both seem underserved and abrupt.
Yeah, a bit. And Homer, I did love Homer treating all the garbage as gold. Like, oh my god, old newspapers.
Oh, please, this is one of the funniest episodes I feel like we've watched so far. I think if you look, I have more clips than usual.
It's got so many back-to-back jokes. I think
and
they're hitting their stride.
And this
so,
is the debut of a character.
Well, Homer is
ahoy, matey. How do you feel of tacos? Would ye sooner eat a bilge rat than another burger? Then come for all you can eat seafood at the Frying Dutchman. Is it more iced tea you'd be needing?
Okay.
I love that.
Set sail for the Frying Dutchman.
Aye, aye, Captain. Marge, we're going to that restaurant.
But I think I'm allergic to seafood. The last time I ate shrimp, my throat closed up, and I went into convulsions.
Shrimp.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah,
so,
that's... Conan made him, though, right?
Yeah, he made him up. I mean, he is just like a receptacle for pirate jokes.
I just can't believe... He's Captain McAllister from the first... I thought he got a name... A backstory way later. It's in this episode.
I think we learn his first name is Horatio somewhere down the line.
But he's Captain McAllister now. He's not a real sea captain now.
No, yeah, you're
and
right.
Like, that's from the first his first appearance.
The writers immediately fall in love with him.
Oh,
he becomes
a
major character from then on. You'll see him all over season four.
He's in the next episode in a major scene.
Yeah. But they forget that he's a sea captain by his next time.
I remember somebody asking them that and like, we need him to be a sea captain. He's a sea captain. When he's not. I don't understand what the big deal is.
It's such a weird, great idea. Like the scene of him pouring iced tea while cackling madly really feels like a Conan O'Brien idea. It's like, why is the mascot of your restaurant also like the manager? Why is he also working there? It doesn't make any sense.
It's so crazy.
It should be like Brian McCann on the side of his stage. Like guy, the captain, the pirate who pours iced tea.
It's not like Colonel Sanders is like throwing out chicken or anything.
Yes. Also, an animation nerd catch is that Homer drooling over it was reused from his reaction to Rich Creamery butter that episode.
Butter.
So
I almost missed that.
And yeah, McAllister here is a guy who owns the Frying Dutchman. Mm. He's not a captain. He doesn't have two glass eyes. Like he doesn't.
He has no affiliation with Handsome Pete.
He's not trying to kill a giant squid, but there is something else about him that he runs a Frying Dutchman, and I have been to the Frying Dutchman where they have one at the Orlando Springfield at Universal Studios, Orlando. It's just like it's like a food court, so it's just a front to it, and you get, fish and chips there, but... Mm-hmm. They do have the neon sign.
With the guy throwing into the fat guy's mouth.
Yeah, it's they recreated the neon sign perfectly. Like it's those little touches in Universal Studios Springfield that just make you like, you guys are nearing Disney in your dedication to this, and I really appreciate it.
Too bad you don't have any beloved IP.
Yeah, they just got to rent them at high cost. Yeah.
I think we're going to meet Laura next,
right? We do meet Laura. Yeah. I love Laura.
Friend.
Ah! Hey, kid. Wake up.
Who are you?
I'm Laura, your new neighbor. You all right?
She's beautiful. Say something clever. I fell on my bottom. No!
So, yeah, Laura, played by Roseanne Sarah Gilbert,
Darlene!
Who played Darlene, who, like, I think that was, like, my platonic ideal for a girlfriend growing up. Like, I want to date a girl that who's cool and who's rude and into comics and cool stuff.
I was very attracted to Darlene. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially her SNL appearance. Sarah Gilbert's SNL appearance, I thought she was
right.
Smoking.
And she jokes about being sisters with Melissa Gilbert, too, right?
Yeah, Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
And I forgot. I get Bart's crush, because as a little kid, I had a best girlfriend who was several years older than me.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Taught me how to kiss before I wanted to.
How many years older than Chris?
Like 3 or 4.
Okay. Because I feel like if someone is just 2 years older than you at this age, you're like, they're so cool and old and they know everything.
She was, but I mean, that's the age difference between them.
Yeah.
Bart and Laura here.
I love that moment of saying the embarrassing thing to your crush that I think anybody can identify with that. But also, I was super into being Sarah Gilbert too. It was one of those rare times in the early episodes where like, I know that guest star. I see them on Roseanne all the time.
It's just
them.
Another one, a sad history of Chris's crushes, which include Ellen Page and Jodie Foster as well.
Oh.
It's just a guarantee it'll never happen.
Big Bird in there, Chris?
Big Bird is totally
you. You have a type. You have a type. But
Big Bird has no pussy.
And that Laura too is she's that type of girl in the army jacket.
Yeah.
Like that is a very specific type.
Yeah.
I hope that still exists.
That was Linda Cardellini's character in Freaks and Geeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I wonder if that...
I just realized my girlfriend wears an army jacket sometimes.
Hey,
pieces are coming together.
But in teenagers.
So the new people that move in, it's Laura and her mom, Ruth.
Ruth Powers.
And they thought of her as a potential Marge friend, and she only ever appears one other episode.
But significantly.
It's twice to my knowledge. We have the Thelma and Louise parody, of course. In like season 14 or 15, in that season, they give Marge huge breasts, and they also make her really buff. And Ruth teaches her how to be buff to get over PTSD from being robbed. So Ruth shows up as like a bodybuilder. Same actress, Pamela Reed.
Yeah.
Pamela Reed, here's a clip of her.
My mother's inside, Mrs. Simpson. Please go right on in.
Oh, you speak so politely to adults.
My upbringing was painfully strict, ma'am.
That's sweet. And finally, most tavern has contributed a coupon as their way of saying, welcome to Springfield.
Thank you. This is all so nice. I actually had some doubts about moving to Springfield, especially after that Time cover story, America's Worst City.
You could see our house in that photo.
I have to say this, like, that spoke to me because I come from one of the worst cities in America, and I'm sure we will make the cover of Time one day.
But people still talk about it because it's in battleground state.
Oh, yeah, right? Every 4 years, people mention our town.
So more presidential candidates come through there than they would, like, say, some shitty town in Idaho or wherever.
They just film B-roll to look at the American economy and they get the hell out.
Hold up a flag and be like, we're going to fix this. And then they'd leave it like it's a movie set and come back.
But this is like, all I have just a ton of clips from this because this all back-to-back sequences, all really great jokes. Laura's
about the divorcee?
Yeah, but like it even starts out like right away with Laura's mind games over Dolph and Kearney.
Do you know what a wet willy is?
Is it this?
Hey, baby, how about putting your finger in my ear?
Well, I don't know. Your boyfriend looks like the jealous type.
Hey, what the... That chick's messing with our minds. Let's get out of here.
Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. I was going to tell your fortune.
Huh?
Oh, man. You're going to be rich.
Whoa.
There's your mansion. There's the tennis court. There's the swimming pool. See you later, Bart.
Damn.
These are all classic kid pranks. I think someone did this to me before this episode, but I'm sure it taught a generation of kids to how to spit in someone's hand to get away with it.
I know it didn't bother me back then, but I would like, well, this is the end of that friendship forever. You spit in my hand.
You have crossed a line, sir.
Now that's unsanitary. It's just 8-year-old me.
But that is, it is really great casting on her there. Yeah. And when I rewatched it, I at first was like, why isn't Jimbo with those guys? I was like, oh, yeah, that's why Jimbo's not there. But it is weird not to see him with Dolph and Kearney.
Sarah Gilbert is the third funniest person on Roseanne, and it would be a lot higher if it wasn't for Laurie Metcalf and
John Galecki, right?
John Goodman.
I'm kidding.
Galecki, yes.
What about Becky Wong? Never mind.
One's a great actor, one's hot.
Sarah Gilbert's, which one's the hot one, Sarah Chalk?
Yeah. The second one.
The Rick and Morty one.
Darlene's character I like in the show goes through, like, she becomes a goth halfway through the show. Like, or in season 4, pretty much. She stops being just the standard kid and, like, I hate everything, I wear black all the time, and I'm not changing.
She starts as sort of like a smart-ass tomboy,
yeah.
and then becomes, the goth.
But then I was always attracted to Like, not just attracted, friends with a lot of girls, like the tomboy ones, the ones who like gross stuff and pranks and like to be funny. So I really love this character.
I didn't get the Das Boot joke when the Das Butt. And my line of the show is Homer arguing with Sansel Hopper. Do you have that?
No, I don't. I have,
all right. My habit, like, it's just such a great joke of just career, 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 and then just Homer arguing with Sansel Hopper.
Yes, it's a great cutaway.
And then just Marge just like groans after that because she realizes what she's done with her life.
Yes, and then but the never wash hands again thing is so great.
Yeah. Never wash this hand
being
again.
Dad, make Bart wash his hand.
Sorry, Elise. I no longer control the hand. The hand controls me.
Dad!
Shut up, you little monsters. Hello, I was wondering if you'd like to babysit my little angels.
Sorry, this isn't Abby. This is her sister. I look after her now.
No, Bart, put it down. Put it down, Bart.
It's so dark. Yeah. It's so dark.
That unwashed hand reminded me of the touch of death from Flanders when Flanders failed.
Mm. Except then it amplifies it more with him getting stuck to the dog.
Yeah, and I like that. There's gum and like a spider web. And like.
And that's what's establishing this weird relationship that Homer and Marge want to go out to eat to an all-you-can-eat seafood restaurant and need a babysitter, and Laura's going to be the babysitter.
It's good and connective then, tissue.
Totally, it's great. It ties the whole story in. It's, I think the reason why I look at it as two not quite fulfilling B stories because it might just be one big story.
They find a way to make a lot of fat jokes in this episode. Really, that's what the brunt of the B story is.
I just love. I love this. It's not my line of the show, but it's my favorite interaction. Homer and Laura's mother.
Oh yeah,
Ruth together.
I'll send Laura over to babysit as soon as she gets home.
Great. Oh, and there was something else. Something I was supposed to tiptoe around.
My divorce.
That's it. Woohoo! I'm glad one of us remembered. Jeez. That could have been embarrassing.
Well, I know what you're thinking, and the answer is yes. I want to be fixed up with one of your friends as soon as you can arrange it. After all, Homer, I do have the normal appetites.
I know what you mean. Just let me make sure we're not talking about food.
I'm not.
Right, me neither. We're talking about sex, right?
Right.
I hear you loud and clear.
Jeez. We're not talking about food, but Ruth is thirsty.
This felt dated to me a little bit, how they were treating, like, ooh, a divorced single mom? Like, this is weird. Like, we gotta... Just that it was a talking point. Not that they were judging someone for being divorced, but it was a story point that people were uncomfortable discussing divorce.
Yeah. Well, I'll do you one better, because it was Halloween, and I recently watched Nightmare on Elm Street, and I... traced it back as best I could. That is the first divorced family I can remember seeing on screen, with the possible exception of E.T.
What about the Parent Trap, Chris?
Never saw the Parent Trap. Well, shit, maybe you're right. But they weren't on television.
That's true.
And like
that's
when
true.
People got divorced, it was like, oh my God. I remember my parents saying, oh my God, your friend Charlie's parents are getting divorced. All my friends' parents got divorced, though. Same and here. They all treated it the same way, like, oh my God. Like, it's not really that shocking anymore.
As Bob has mentioned on previous episodes, you were you were at a Catholic school and shamed over your parents.
A lot of friends' parents and, like, the Catholic school I went to did kind of shame me because they looked down upon. And, I mean, even in the show, I think, like, these non-traditional things that were happening, like Homer knocking up Marge before they got married, were seen as, like a little risque. So I feel
didn't
like it was
a
different,
TV.
Yeah.
Well, and this also takes me back to Joel Hodgson's great speech on I think it was a Manos episode, of just talking about how, it wasn't Manos, but talking about how parents had to be widowers in old sitcoms instead of divorced to get together. Yep. Like, the Brady family both had to be widows to get together because it would have been too horrible for them to be divorced, like you. Mm-hmm. So
death is better.
Yeah,
the idea of my three sons. You have three sons? Big fucking deal. But the point is, he's single. He's single because she died. And
he didn't make room for daddy.
Well, I think those things work, too, because people didn't talk about their grief all that much back then. It's like, okay, you buried your grief, and now you've got a new wife. And it's
bury your grief. We might have another war for you to fight. Thank you.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Hey there, Talking Simpsons listeners. And it's a great time to mention that this show is brought to you by Loot Crate. Talking Simpsons listeners can go to trylootcrate.com/lasertime to get 10% off with promo code BRIDGE10. That's the number 10. What is Loot Crate? Loot Crate is a monthly mystery box with the best geek and gaming gear, from collectibles, apparel, tech gadgets, art, pop figs, epic gear. It's like, I called it Comic-Con in a box once, but since this is October, it is horror-themed horror. They've got Nightmare on Elm Street stuff, Friday the 13th stuff, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Walking Dead paraphernalia. And you have until October 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to get that, and then it is gone. I love all of those movies. I cannot wait to rewatch them this October. You can throw yourself a little monthly birthday with the Loot Crate service. For less than $20, you will get 6 to 8 cool-ass items, and again, this month, it is all Halloween-y horror-themed, and I love that. So once again, Talking Simpsons listeners, you can go to trylootcrate.com/lasertime and use promo code BRIDGE10, that's the number 10, as in 10% off, to get 10% off. That wasn't complicated, was it?
Are you already tired of 2016? Jump into the past with 302010, our weekly pop culture time machine podcast. Here's something you may remember from 2006.
But yeah, the big movie out this week.
Mama, I'm going fast!
To become the fastest man alive.
That's my boy, Ricky!
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, I want to thank you for my family.
And yeah. Adam McKay does such a good job of making NASCAR look really fun and interesting.
Yeah.
Really good action directing job.
There's so many funny moments in this movie. Yeah. Most Will Ferrell, Adam McKay movies just pack every single space of a scene with a funny person who doesn't ever get to really shine anywhere else. Michael Clark Duncan in this movie, I love this line. I say it all the time.
Mm.
The doctor told us that we should let you work it out in your own sweet time, but Ricky, you can walk.
What'd you just say?
It's all in your head.
You sick sons of bitches. I mean, you walk in that door on your two legs all fat and cocky and looking at me in my chair and you tell me it's all in my head? I hope that both of you have sons, handsome, beautiful, articulate sons who are talented and star athletes and they have their legs taken away. I mean, I pray you know that pain and that hurt.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby! Don't you put that on us! You are not paralyzed!
Oh, man.
That makes me so happy. Don't you put that evil on me. So good.
That's 302010, a weekly look at what happened in pop culture 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago, every Thursday right here on the LaserTime Network.
So I see up next, Chris. Well, do we have this Laura babysitting? Go.
This is almost my line of the show because it's Bart taking a bath.
Bart, are you taking a bath?
Yes, I am, and it would be nice to have a little privacy around here for a change.
This wouldn't have anything to do with Laura coming over, would it?
Hey, sometimes a guy just likes his skin to look its yellowest.
Dude.
So that is the first time they've referred to their skin as yellow, at least on the show. Maybe in the shorts they did.
I remember Homer saying, "Kiss my hairy yellow butt." Was that on a previous episode or a later one?
No, I think you're right. That
maybe, but like this is something they kind of, it's controversial in Simpsons because
totally.
Homer famously says, "I'm a white male, age 18 to 34. Yeah,
everybody cares what I think.
Everyone listens to me.
Well, we're all white and we're kind of pinkish.
Yeah, but that he refers to himself as white. In the Simpsons world, yellow is white. They are the white person in America.
Whenever they do that, it's like, well, why did you bother then? Why are they yellow in the first place if you're going to have Carl?
It looks cool.
It does look cool.
Hey, thank Klasky Chupo for that one.
Yeah, some Russian lady did it.
But black people are black people. Asians are Asian. Like, Mexicans are Mexicans. Like, but
do not call them yellow, Henry. They're Asian people.
But white, there aren't white people in the Simpsons world. It felt like to me the first time I've seen in a reviewing them refer to themselves as yellow skin.
Then we cut right away to them at the Frying Dutchman. I love this whole exchange.
Homer
is so good.
It's like a monster here.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but everything on the menu has fish in it.
What about the bread? Does that have much fish in it?
Yes.
Well, I have some Tic Tacs in my purse.
Excellent choice. And for the gentleman?
All you can eat. All you can eat.
All right. When you're ready, take this plate over.
Please, don't take the steam tray, sir!
I mean, we've seen Homer eat before. We eat a lot before, like at the sushi restaurant. Okay. This is like unimaginable and like beyond cartoonish. He's like literally eating all the food in the entire restaurant.
You would think, but I am a fucking...
Is he taking breaks to poop?
I'm a fucking pig, and I love saying, like, I gained 10 pounds over the summer. I'm like, you know how Christopher gains 10 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
Catering. Free food. Like, I will eat till like, I just, where I have, like, diarrhea and just still shoving food in my mouth. Free food, I'll eat the shit out of.
Yeah.
And to be fair to Homer, well, one, I love the, whenever you go to an all-you-can-eat restaurant and you have to do that thing where, like, you wait for permission to go get your shit. You have to, like, I'm going to have the all-you-can-eat, which you're not even billing me for. Just let me go get a plate. God damn it. And I, like, I love that, but seafood never gets me full. I can eat seafood all goddamn day long, including if you really, like, let's see if we can make it a Patreon tier. I'll eat a steam tray full of shrimp. I bet you I can.
It feels like it goes faster. It doesn't sit with you like, say, red meat
you
does.
Should wash it down with white wine, Chris.
I love buffets, and I do love that moment of, you know, you are waiting for your drink order, like, I gotta make my drink order, but the food's right over there. and also, you're like pushing yourself to have a third plate to make it worth it.
Yeah, it's like, I need to get value out of this at the expense of my own health.
I do not go to buffets because I cannot trust myself.
The last buffet I went to was, buffet I went to was in Vegas, and it was with friends of the show, Brett and Carolyn, and like, I thought I was gonna be the one who ate the most, but Carolyn, like, destroyed crab legs. Like, she ate like 2 dozen crab legs.
Man, yeah, I would go for the crab legs, you know, if they were unlimited.
But
definitely.
all of us were so stuffed, none of us had a meal the rest of the day. We're like, and that was the day I did a day trip to Las Vegas as well to see a WWE wrestling event. But that's neither here nor there.
But eventually Homer, love this, Homer gets thrown out.
That man ate all our shrimp and 2 plastic lobsters.
Tis no man. Tis a remorseless eating machine. 6 bells, time for closing.
Can't talk, eating.
Fairly warned, BD, says I.
Hey! Hey! But the sign said all you can eat.
Did say all you can eat.
And I feel like busted. That all you can eat joke just kind of wrote itself, and they based the episode on, I mean, like, part of it just like, what if a guy couldn't get all he could eat? And
I mean,
bam, there you go, B-story.
I worked at a kind of hick-located Chinese restaurant all-you-can-eat buffet. Mm-hmm. Definitely says all-you-can-eat, but because of the nature of people, had to have a lot of caveats at the bottom.
No Tupperware.
Like, well, they had a to-go option. Like, you just go to the buffet and fill up a thing. And it's like, we have to make a rule. You have to be able to close the lid you have to be able to close.
Like a 3-foot-tall pile of rice.
I mean, seriously, people would walk out with a mountain of, like, Mugu Gaipan.
A Jenga of frog's legs.
That's the thing at a Chinese buffet. It's like, look, you can make rice anywhere. Just don't, like, why fill up on rice?
And they had a time limit. For real.
Did they play the Double Dare music?
But it was like 2 hours. But it's only because, like, a couple, it's in a poor area. So, like, people would come in and, like, a couple people sat in there all day.
You can't go to the bathroom and vomit. We're sorry.
Yeah,
they had a TV with sports on. I can see, like, why not? If the chair's comfortable,
just eat yourself into oblivion and watch football.
So, it's fairly warned be ye, says I. Is that the Pirates? That isn't the Pirates ride, right? Isn't it?
I don't know. So. It's been a good 6 years since I've been on that ride.
I don't think so. I thought it was just a wonderful example of excessive use of limited pirate vocabulary.
Yeah, like antiquated English.
Fairly warned.
And I forgot how important. I watch Peter Pan on VHS endlessly. I was wearing a Peter Pan shirt a second ago. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
The Disney one?
The Disney one. Yeah, and so for years I didn't know how to spell Bill Dredd. It wasn't in the dictionary. There's no subtitles in my clamshell VHS. Learning how to spell Bildrat was one of the most exciting things for me.
Learn what a bilge is.
Actually, I just double-checked this. I thought I'd seen this. Jeffrey Martin tweeted this when the episode aired during Every Simpsons Ever 2 years ago. He says, "Fairly warned be thee, says I, paraphrases Talking Skull at the start of Pirates of the Caribbean ride."
Oh, wow.
So that's where he got it from.
I am learning this. That's a
that ride is great for you.
But I just, I love that line. Every McAllister line is amazing.
in between here is
the only scene of Bart's courtship with Laura.
Sir, come on, Bart. If I can teach Maggie to waltz, I can teach you. Just follow me. Put your hand on my hip.
OK.
Okay.
Great scene. I love how the music transitions into a full orchestra.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the scene with Marge dancing with Jock in season one.
Very similar.
But in black and white.
The dwindling fantasy sequences in this season.
Yeah, but there's a couple goodies in this one, and Wes Archer does a very good job of them. His team, he was a director. And also the taste of Kabul, like the Afghanistan references, I didn't know it was Afghanistan they were eating until, obviously, in the post 9/11 world, Americans are very aware of places
so
in Afghanistan.
But,
that really feels like what my town would have done with a super ethnic, non-white food place. Like, we're not going there. Like, Indian food was weird. Like, traditional Mexican food was weird. Yeah. Like, Taco Bell was as far as we would go.
Yeah.
Off of the white spectrum of casseroles and, like, potato-based meals.
They'll go Mediterranean with like Greek food, but any farther south, they're not into that.
I want a Mediterranean burger, some Mediterranean fries.
Just them wrestling over the two Afghani brothers wrestling over the telephone. That was funny.
Yeah. I was like, sometimes you want us to fail.
Shut up.
But this is all leading into what my line of the show is. I got it. It's one of the few jokes I got then. I get it now, and I still love it.
Go for it.
Tell me in advance if you want a different line of the show next time, because this is my line of the show.
That's the joke.
All you can eat. Huh!
Mr. Simpson, this is the most blatant case of fraudulent advertising since my suit against the film The Neverending Story.
So, do you think I have a case?
Homer, I don't use the word hero very often. But you are the greatest hero in American history.
Woohoo! By the way, he grabs his head when he says that.
I love this quote, but my quote's coming up later, and I think this is rigged. This whole thing is rigged against me.
Not to bring him up, it makes me feel like Donald Trump just hears a Lionel Hutz in his head all the time.
Lionel Hutz is so good.
Everything you're thinking is correct. You've never been wrong. You're a total hero.
You'll be drunk, failed attorney in your head.
That's Homer deciding to sue, which that was. He comes to that decision with the Don Quixote line, which I love that line because it is one of those things like I can see my dad doing of just like being so insistent. And by the way, this is before the internet, guys. So he had to look up in an encyclopedia or something in the house to find it out. But just the way he goes, like, I really think it was Don Quixote.
I'm going
to
fight this thing.
Oh, please don't. For me.
Sorry, Marge. This is my quest. I'm like that guy, that Spanish guy. You know, he fought the windmills.
Don Quixote?
No, that's not it. What's his name? The Man of La Mancha.
Don Quixote.
No.
I really think that was the character's name. Don Quixote.
Fine, now look it up.
Well, who was it?
Never mind.
That's great.
You can't know La Mancha and not Don Quixote.
Number one, don't compare yourself to Don Quixote because you're just calling yourself a fool who's misguided. I don't think Homer understands that.
I've never read that book, but I have watched The Man of La Mancha play, which is actually very good.
It's like a gigantic book full of like several vignettes and stuff. It's really, really big.
It's funny, though, right?
Yeah, like, it's funny.
But, well, he's like, we've never read it in Spanish, though. So
I guess we're missing all the puns.
The localization censored the hell out of that Don Quixote. But
too many modern-day references.
The musical Man of La Mancha is really great. I love it.
So, I experienced that through the Pinky and the Brain parody of it. The full-length episode parody of Man of La Mancha. Why did that show ever air? I don't know.
I first experienced Man of La Mancha through the episode of Quantum Leap, where he quantum leaped into a person starring in Man of La Mancha, and so he had to put on the show.
That is where the song The Impossible Dream comes from, just in case anyone is confused.
The Impossible Dream.
I did want to get to some music here.
Oh.
Because we've got a lot of great comments on LaserTimePodcast.com. TalkingSimpsons.com if you don't want to go through the awesome chuffa that is our great content.
Get that British out of here, Chris.
Talking Simpsons. But we get a lot of great comments from like animation fans and animators.
Oh, yeah. Our geeking out really paid off.
Yeah. And I thank you guys so much for that. So I wanted to reward you with this, with something really specific. Bart goes to Grandpa for love advice.
Grandpa, I need some advice. Did you ever have a crush on an older woman?
I had a crush on the oldest woman. 120 years old she was. Here's a picture of her delivering UB Blake.
What happened?
She fell in with that Guinness Book of Records crowd. Suddenly, she didn't have any time for me. Oh, I wore a 15-pound beard of bees for that woman, but it just wasn't enough.
UB Blake, Never heard of the guy.
I didn't look it up. I don't know why.
He's an old-timey jazz musician born during cowboy times.
Oh.
He was famous for being old.
Yes.
Like, he died in 1983 at the age of 96.
He wrote a musical called Shuffle Along, which starred Josephine Baker, and this song premiered
in. I love Josephine Baker.
No way.
I'm just wild about Harry, and Harry's wild about me. Now the heavenly bliss of his kisses fills me with ecstasy. That's just a rough idea, you understand.
Love this cartoon. Yankee Doodle Daffy, 1943.
Oh, man. Who
performing like a 20-year-old song.
Is that a McKimson one?
I
that
can't
looked
tell.
Like a McKimson Daffy.
We don't know. I think it's Frizz Freeling.
Freeling.
Yeah. Isidore.
Frizz Freeling.
Now you love Frizz Freeling.
Look, I never hated on Frizz Freeling.
You hate on him all the time.
He was my fourth favorite one, and he directed most of the bad 70s ones.
Let's forget about Daffy meeting Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah, look,
a match made in hell.
Everybody can talk about how crappy some of Chuck Jones's stuff in the 70s was.
Real
can't
bad.
Compare to Frizz Freeling's. Like, I'd watch a million Tom and Jerry's by Chuck Jones than Cool Cat.
You're not going to watch Bunny
cool
and Clyde?
Yeah. Oh, I love Bunny and Clyde.
About the great Santa Claus caper, the Raggedy Ann and Andy Christmas special I forced myself to sit through.
Yeah. Look, they're not good either, but his Chipmunks was okay.
Yeah, they're all right.
Right before that scene, though, we get the introduction of another character.
You're right. I was going to say this.
Old Jewish Man.
Affectionately named Old Jewish Man.
Yes.
Apparently,
I looked this up, Henry. Apparently, he appeared before. This is his first personification as the character that we know.
With Azaria's voice and everything, right? Like, in Azaria, a Jewish man is very good at that old Jewish man voice, and he basically just does that voice again when he plays Harold Zoid.
Oh, you're right.
In Futurama.
Yeah. It's the same voice. And on the commentary, it's great. This scene happens, and Conan goes, an old man appears, he wastes everyone's time, and he's carried away. That's a Conan O'Brien joke.
By the way, the world's oldest woman actually was 122.
Yeah.
Jean Calment.
I love being able to say that. No human has ever lived longer than that. 122, that's all we got.
And now we're older than the world's oldest cat. Like, the world's oldest cat that died was, in its early 30s. So.
He was born in, 85 or something.
I know,
he was 31.
I'm kind of bummed out because a cat in my life is not doing very well.
One of your mom's 17 cats?
My mom has one cat, and I'm not going into this. It's a bummer, so I'm not going to
represent
everybody.
How about, the podcast has powers, Henry. We don't want to, use them. Yeah.
Let's listen to Laura rip Bart's heart out instead.
Thanks for coming.
I pleased to aim.
I'm so happy. I just had to tell someone. I have a boyfriend.
You won't be needing this.
I love that scene.
It's lit so well. And I think it's cool that Laura is a flawed character too. Like, she goes for the bad boy, and Bart is flawed as well because he's kind of in the quote unquote friend zone. He doesn't understand that.
I got friend zone just like this for someone just like Jim.
I don't believe in the friend zone. I think it's something that bitter men say and then they post on Reddit.
I would always it's hard to pronounce your feelings for certain things, and now I just wish I had all that time back where I didn't tell someone I like them. Or there's very easy ways to say you're interested, and so someone wouldn't
you're putting a lot on the line.
But that all this time of it's been 8 months and this girl doesn't know that I love her, and then she's telling me about her boyfriend, and it hurts so bad. All I had to do was make some intentions clear. We can talk about it, move forward as friends, or not.
But it would be scary to do that.
Just saying,
might be turned down. So
I have no time for that nowadays.
Was that your life or the first season of Friends? I can't tell.
Yeah. So look, guys, many American men have gone through this thing, so it is an identifiable
story.
Also because men can't fucking differentiate between love and lust. It shouldn't be fucking a crime to say you have physical. Don't go Donald Trump in it.
but express feeling
you
those
can express
things
that
wrong.
It's not wrong.
But these dudes write sonnets over boners they have when they don't really, they just want sex.
I say keep it a secret if it'll make things awkward and make the other person uncomfortable.
But it'll make everything awkward forever.
Or just distance yourself. I don't know. I don't have a solution.
Yeah, they're not really.
I think you need to learn at some point how to be attracted to people or be friends with people you're attracted to without doing anything.
I mean, I wish a woman was on here for this, but I do feel like Laura Laura's being punished or like viewed negatively by the show for like yeah, it's her first boyfriend. He's a dick. Like, see, she has a bad first boyfriend.
I think that's supposed to side with Bart.
I think it's supposed to make it look like more anguishing for Bart.
Yeah.
It's not just that he's getting ditched. He's getting ditched to her guy beats him up every day.
Yeah, immediately when she tells him who it is, there's a flashback to him getting like swirlied.
With Bart wearing an uncharacteristic green shirt.
He's like wearing his merchandise shirt.
Yes. It's red shirt, blue shirt, and then green shirt. I don't know. Way below that.
It's like a coloring mistake.
You're emphasized by this scene, Hank.
Good luck in your trumped up lawsuit, Dad.
Thanks. That means a lot to me.
All right, you guys. I want you in bed before Jimbo gets here.
What do you like about him? He's just a good-looking rebel who plays by his own rules.
I love it when The Simpsons defines which one of its characters is good-looking for me, so I just have something, some basis of comparison. Marge is hot.
He's Langdon Alger, though.
I mean...
Jimbo's kind of ugly, though.
Yeah,
he's
always like,
the show.
He's
got an ugly soul.
Shirt. He wears a dumb shirt. He always has on that stupid hat. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, just an asshole. But, like, Bart asking Homer, like, what do we do when a woman is with a clod that's beneath her? He's like, well, I married her.
And Marge laughs.
I love that joke because... I like when Homer's being intentionally joking.
Yeah, I like when they have fun with each other. It's really cute.
And also, we skipped right past Homer's love advice to Bart, which I did love.
This is a sacred moment between a boy and his father. Son, a woman is a lot like a refrigerator. They're about 6 feet tall, 300 pounds. They make ice and... Oh, wait a minute. Actually, a woman is more like a beer. They smell good. They look good. You'd step over your own mother just to get one. But you can't stop at one. You want to drink another woman. So I says, yeah, if you want that money, come and find it, because I don't know where it is, you baloney. You make me want to rat.
So, like, I love that, yeah, baloney. And, like, my friend Sarah who's listening says it all the time, so hello, Sarah.
But Bart's face when it goes to the trunk transition is so awesome.
He's just half-lidded and tired of it. But then Homer, I mean, in another context, a son watching his father get drunk is a tragedy.
Yeah.
But it's,
and tell
it's
him about
hilarious.
Life, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah. Let me jump back, because I love this Love my Phil Hartman. I am on a quest to get every Phil Hartman character I can in here.
He's all up in season 4.
Ooh, love Lionel Hutz.
Captain McAllister, isn't it a fact that you're not a real captain?
Aye.
But if I'm giving like sequence of the show, Marge's testimony, regardless of Julie Kavner's delivery, is one of the funniest things ever written, I feel like.
Yes.
Yeah, the emotion she's putting behind what are ridiculous jokes,
funnier.
Like him eating a bag of flour, them going fishing.
All of this is so great. All of this
Oh, sorry,
is so
I gave it away.
Mrs. Simpson, isn't it true your husband once consumed a 10-pound bag of flour when no other food was available?
Yes, but it was...
Your witness!
There's a pizza here for...
Right here.
Mrs. Simpson... What did you and your husband do after you were ejected from the restaurant?
We pretty much went straight home.
Mrs. Simpson, you're under oath.
We drove around until 3 a.m. looking for another all-you-can-eat fish restaurant.
And when you couldn't find one?
We went fishing.
Did these sound like the actions of a man who had... all he could eat?
No!
Not at all.
That could have been me!
Thank you for keeping that in. I love the guy going, that could have been me!
Yeah, it just flashes to a fat jury. Everything about that is perfect!
The jury is just a bunch of fat guys.
Yes.
This whole courtroom scene, I remembered it as being in multiple scenes, but it's just an uninterrupted time in the courtroom. Yeah. And it's all hilarious. And I think one of my oft-quoted lines is like, that could have been me. Like, just these, when it finally hits this fat guy, like, hey, I
could have happened to anybody.
The outrage.
Any person would have this problem. And I guess it's a parody of saying,
fishing.
Like,
Jesus Christ.
It's a parody of getting a jury that is in your favor, like, racially, or all women on a jury with a woman.
They were not
on
screened. They should have had less fat guy.
I just think it's beautiful.
Burns' lawyer did a really bad job screening.
Moonlighting with Captain McAllister.
I expect more from him.
But meanwhile, Jimbo's back at the house making out with Laura.
My shirt's chafing me. Mind if I take it off?
Well, okay.
I would never pay for sex, but during sex, I would pay a woman to let me leave my shirt on. That's where I'm at. I would never broker this deal.
That's what the lights
offer for. You didn't talk about how Homer, the resolution Homer got to eat in the window. And
it's
just,
fine.
He's more stomach than that. It was a cute little, it just ended it. Both of these things are like, we got to end. Yeah. Like, yeah. This is
way better. Like, because Bart wants to get rid of Jimbo by finally calling Moe's and giving his address. And just
It's the incorrect address.
Is it?
Yeah.
But it says, good for one free beer at Moe's. This is Moe's Tavern, isn't it?
No, this is Moe's Cabin.
Give me my beer.
Stupid Rockamobile. I knew it would ruin me.
How many free beers does he get?
Yeah, just a sec. I'll check. Amanda Huggenkiss? Hey, I'm looking for Amanda Huggenkiss. Why can't I find Amanda Huggenkiss?
Maybe your standards are too high.
Little SOB. If I ever find out who you are, I'm gonna shove a sausage down your throat and stick starving dogs in your butt.
My name is Jimbo Jones, and I live at 1094 Evergreen Terrace.
Well,
aha! Big mistake, pal! Oh, I know he'd slip up sooner or later. Ah, yes, rusty and dull.
So cool.
So this is really selling out Moe's character. Like, Moe's ready to, I mean, he is this guy from then on. Like, Moe's ready to kill. Like he will murder this child.
Have you seen Moe out of the bar at this point?
He went to their party at
the boxing thing.
True.
He's like college boy.
Hide the mugs.
So, this is canonically Bart's last prank call. Other characters would call Moe instead of Bart after this. Like, Burns would call him, like, Waylon Smithers. Like, Waylon, you say? Smithers, huh? And then, like...
Homer did the reverse one on the spring break episode where Bart, he said he'd... staple an American flag to his butt and mail him to Iran.
Yeah, and Lisa was helping him prank. But it's weird because in a season like 13 episode, Bart teaches Homer how to prank when in that Bart on the Road episode, Lisa taught him how to prank. So it doesn't make any sense. The timeline's all screwed up.
But the 1094, they gave different...
That's the resolution on the episode.
Evergreen Terrace had been their thing. They knew they wanted the street to be Evergreen Terrace, but they didn't settle on a number. Like, they said 1094, other times they said 1092. But it would eventually be 742, but they hadn't settled on it yet. So
the original name I pitched for this podcast was a 742 Evergreen Podcast. Terrible.
Bad SEO. Bad SEO.
Yeah, I think that was why we said, like, we gotta have Simpsons in the name. So on the commentary, Conan O'Brien has made me hate the ending because he really calls out the issue with it, which is like that Jimbo is proven to be a coward because a man threatens to murder him.
Toxic masculinity is good.
A man comes into the house. He knows his name, and he's like brandishing a knife.
It's like, I'm a grown man, and I will kill you, 13-year-old. Oh, no, please don't kill me. What a coward. And
it's like his shirt's off.
Tough.
He's like completely vulnerable.
In Moe's defense, he was not going to kill
him. Yeah, he said he's only like, going to cut him.
I wasn't going to kill you. I'm just going to cut you a little.
Speaking of, and there were some jokes in there that were like time filler, like Moe running by and then the freeze frame of him pulling out the map. And,
F5.
And then meanwhile, Barney's heart stopped, like that he drinks all.
I love that shot.
This ashtray.
That camera angle of him like laying backwards and like just has like the tap in his mouth.
He looks like he's planking.
Yes, that's right.
Way ahead of that craze.
And yeah, she says like, you're not the man I thought you were, Jimbo. You're crying. Like, yeah, man threatened to kill me with
come on, Laura. Yeah, I guess we didn't see Laura after this. We saw Ruth Powers. Laura disappeared. She's not even like a background character. Like,
and it makes you like,
she went to boarding school.
I guess so.
That could be it.
And when Ruth, you know, is talking about being behind on child support, they are talking about Laura, but they just don't bring her back.
That's true, yeah.
Even though she lives right next door.
I think they mentioned her getting back home so that Naked Talk Show isn't being viewed by her.
That's right. So my daughter doesn't see a Naked Talk Show, which, by the way, I once turned, a rare time I turned on TV in Berkeley, I got to the, you know, public access channel, and it really was just like two people nude talking about things. It was just, like, they had quilts over their windows so it's not to like offend or whatever.
Hey,
but
they
it
paid
was,
their $20 for that hour.
But it was just
public
too,
access channel had Fat Albert, man. I never understood that.
How these were unattractive naked people, and they were standing about people. 4 feet apart from each other, a man and a woman. Like, what was your childhood like? Well, you know, my dad was Mexican. And I was like, what's this?
My public access channel at home, people would just air their barbecue videotapes, and I would leave them on. Like, this is 3 hours of a barbecue. What? Like, when is this going to end?
Oh, thank God! And it wouldn't end. Facebook, so I can. Ignore that. It doesn't have to take up the airwaves.
God. So, yes, I guess that was a new kid on the block. Yeah,
a really good episode, IMO.
I like it. I think the B story is a little cheap, and it kind of cheapens
again,
Bart's story.
Don't know what's the B story.
I love Bart's girlfriend more because it's just about that, and I feel like that character, Lovejoy, is a much better, more fully formed character than
Laura. A better
Laura.
Foil, and there's a better twist on it. Like, Laura's more idealized. Like she doesn't get to have much of a life. While
is she a manic pixie dream girl?
Maybe. I think a little bit, but she's also idealized from the perspective of an 8-year-old who doesn't really know how to be attracted to somebody just yet. Mm. Bart's attracted to the qualities in her that he has.
Yeah, he's just liking you know, one of the guys type girl.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say this is.
I think
pretty,
I just had a breakthrough. I need to go.
This is a pretty good episode that hits real highs, like all Captain McAllister moments. Totally the best. Lionel Hutt's the best.
That Marge testimony, that's my favorite.
Yeah, there's some great moments in it. I'm glad Don Rickles said no because we got Captain McAllister.
Yeah, that
I want to try and get this.
Character.
We got to shut it down. We got to get this another under an hour because the next episode is Mr. Plow.
We're here all night.
I am terrified. Terrified of how long we're going to go.
Wrap up really quick. I've been your host, Bob Mack. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also write for SomethingAwful.com. My other podcast is Retronauts, a classic gaming podcast. You can find that at Retronauts.com every Monday. And I am now a writer for Fandom, so go to Fandom.com and read my stuff there, Henry.
Who powers that?
Wikia. It's powered by Wikia. Yes, that's
great
Bob.
Simpsons wiki, too.
Bob is now my co-worker. I'm really looking forward to it. Just find out that in 2 weeks we hate working. Like, we're good friends, but we never work
Henry, I hate him.
Let's Bob. No, but seriously, though, yeah, that's where I work. You can find my work there on Fandom.com. I'm a games editor there, and also HENEREYG on Twitter, and you should hear our other exclusive episodes of Talking Simpsons that are the first season on patreon.com/lasertime, including the season 2 and season 3 wrap-ups with deep, deep cuts of Simpsons goodiness.
Indeed. And listen to Laser Time. It's a topic-based pop culture show. Simpsons have entered into almost every episode. In fact, some of our YouTube videos, game streams, are like, could you just stop it with the Simpsons references? You think this is the perfect outlet.
Nope.
It's still not enough.
We're all diseased.
It's not enough. And if you like our looking back at stuff, you should definitely listen to 302010. I think you will love. If you like Talking Simpsons, you'll love 302010.
So, oddly enough, what's happening right now, if you don't know what 302010 is, it's essentially like the news segment we do at the top here, but about 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago. And it's immediately kicked off with the Hank Scorpio You Never Move Twice episode. So we try and hold back from talking about that show, that episode, like we would here.
We'll get to it in 2 years.
Another 2 years, we can finally get to it.
Thanks
but that is 20 years old.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with Mr. Plow. See you then.
Infotainment.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.